phrases and words that are often rash. And what I mean by that is we will always use the word always, right? And we'll talk about how we will never do something. I remember talking about one time when we were in the school of preaching years ago and talking about we had moved from Florida in a preaching work down there in High Springs, Florida. And I remember making the statement, we'll never move back to Florida. The job that we got right out of school was back in Florida. So sometimes it turns out when you make a statement like that, it kind of backfires on you. And so we talk about what we're looking at, obviously, is extremes. Always, never. There are other phrases that we might use, but when you think about those, everything is in the extreme. When you talk about always, never. And while we talk about the best of something or the worst of something, the most frightening thing, the biggest fish I ever caught, you know, sometimes we talk about use those phrases in a way. But what happens is that over time, especially the more that we use those phrases, what happens? Their usefulness is kind of diminished. Oh wait, when he says always or never, I know he's not really meaning always. He doesn't really mean never. And when he's telling me that's the biggest fish that he caught, I don't know. And so words kind of lose their extreme position in that way. But on the other hand, some extreme statements are powerful because of their infrequency, because we rarely use them. And we find a couple of statements in the Bible, and there could probably be a whole series of these that are found. But I want you to look with me at Revelation 5, verse 13. We'll be quick. Revelation 5 and verse 13. I believe that the Bible contains some pretty extreme statements. And I would say the impact of those statements should be appreciated to the fullest. But in Revelation 5 and verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, John says, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. We find this statement. It includes every created thing is giving honor and glory and praise unto the throne of God and to the Lamb forever and ever. What is there that's left when you think of a statement like that? There's nothing, is there? What or whom does this not include? Nobody's left out here. Nothing is left out here. And so there's a couple of questions we might ask to explore this a little deeper. One is that things, in particular things, cannot or do not have a voice. Plants, rocks, the birds certainly sing out in that way. So how could they praise God? And the Bible is clear, though, that they truly do. And we find that in Psalm 148. And I would implore you to read that later on your time and just look at that a little bit and notice how all of God's creation praises Him just simply because He spoke and they were made. Another question that's often brought up when you think about these things is the fact that we know that surely everyone does not praise God. You look at the world today, everybody's not praising God, right? We understand that, but there is coming a day, there is coming a time when it will be the case that all will bow the knee Every knee will bow. I want you to look with me now at Philippians 2. With these thoughts in mind, Philippians 2, beginning in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth. That's familiar, isn't it? That sounds familiar to the passage there in Revelation 5 and verse 13. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is coming a day when every tongue will confess. Well, every knee will bow before God Almighty. The point is that certainly then we ought to exclaim the glory of God, the glory of God. We should praise Him daily while we have time, while we have breath in us. There is coming a day when all, whether they so choose to do so now or not, will bow before Him. The Hebrews writer speaks of the one with whom we have to do. And John would talk about that it's by His word that we're going to be judged. John 12 and verse 48. John recorded the words of Jesus for us, reminding us that we will be judged, in fact, by the word of Jesus. And therefore, we should spend our days and our lifetime praising Him, extolling His name before men, showing that glory and honor and power before mankind, showing to whom we bow right now in that way. And that's what every Christian should do. Every Christian has that responsibility and that privilege. There is coming a day, and the reminder for each of us then, that day, that we too will stand before God and give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Are we ready for that day? Have we obeyed the gospel? Have we believed Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of sin and confessing our faith in Christ, being baptized to wash away our sins, and then living faithful each day of our life? Are we living faithful lives, praising God daily, ever before Him? Can we help you? Can we encourage you? Come to the front if we can, while we stand and while we sing.